Good day, entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. This is part two of three sessions specifically aimed at the ecosystem. We are trying to give you some insights if you are an accelerator, incubator, mentor, anyone who's developing entrepreneurs. What are the key factors that you could look at when you are developing an entrepreneurship development model in order to get entrepreneurs to that next place where they want to be? In studio again today, I've got Professor Yuri van Vieren. My name is Anya de Klerk and I am from Thinkroom Consulting. Good day, Prof. Welcome to studio.
Once again, thank you, Anya. Thank you for having me.
You told us in part one that you have quite a lot of business experience. Please tell us, how many entrepreneurs have you developed to date?
Anya, I did some kind of, let's say, a broad work calculation. I think it's more or less 15,000 that I've seen across Africa and across, and obviously, South Africa.
So 15,000 entrepreneurs that we can say we have trained on this basic entrepreneurship model?
Mm.
15,000
yes.
Entrepreneurs. So we are sitting here with a very knowledgeable professor from the University of Pretoria with over 20 years business experience, 20 years lecturing experience, and a true passion for entrepreneurship. So if we had to recap on part one, Prof, we introduced this entrepreneurship model by starting off by defining what true entrepreneurship is. Do you want to give us a recap on your definition of true entrepreneurship?
Yes, I'm just quickly going to refer to that again. And that there is, it boils down to, there is a difference between developing small business and true entrepreneurship. Developing small business will be then the concentration or then the assistance with the startup. And then there will be a kind of thinking that will support the entrepreneur, and that is what eventually will make them to take the decision. So, but I don't want such a big concern. I'm happy within two or three employees. And therefore, that's enough for me. I create a life for myself and I create a living for this. If we talk about true entrepreneurship, we are talking about starting a business and growing it. In other words, we want to be able to have this vision of saying, listen, okay, in 10 years' time, I want to employ 100 people within 150 people. Now, why that is important for a country is the fact that that's the true power of entrepreneurship. If you look at the influence or the power it has in the economy, it shows out, and you can speak to a number of economists regarding that, that for each job you create, five people are positively influenced by that job. So if you can be able to have then 100 jobs that you create, you have influenced 500 people in the country, so or in your specific region. There are people that make the statement to say, but okay, the true weapon of the United States is not the army, it's the entrepreneurship.
Sure. Interesting. Most interesting. So true entrepreneurship being defined as starting a business, growing a business, and then to eventually create the economic wealth in your society.
You see that those entrepreneurs on a big scale then invest back in their local community. They also invest back in the regional economy and also eventually in the country's economy because they are generating in economic activity. So we need, for that argument, all across Africa, we really need true entrepreneurs that start and grow businesses. I don't say that small business is not good. And if we have a high number of small businesses, it's good. And they're also going to create their jobs. But you can think yourself in that if we do the calculation and we say, but okay, we want to create 100 jobs, that if you have only two employees, then you need to then establish 50 small businesses. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit of a more of a difficult effort than only saying, okay, we are going to create one successful entrepreneur.
Okay, Prof, recap us a little bit on the entrepreneurship development model. So this was this fancy mathematical scientific model that you showed to us. So part one was all around introducing the entrepreneurial motivation and need for achievement and how to get that picture right. So when any entrepreneur wakes up in the middle of the night, he knows exactly what his own definition of victory is. Could you kindly just explain this model to us high level again?
I'm quickly going to tell this. And that is that, first of all of us have entrepreneurial performance level, whether it's low, medium, or high, or then in between, it doesn't matter. And in the process, it is based on the fact that all of us, if you look at our performance, whether it's for that argument, then inside a corporation or then as a prospective startup or in a small business, we find ourselves that we as developers can be able to improve the people's entrepreneurship performance. That little indication there, triangular in front of it, is then indicating then to improve that. So we can then have certain interventions. We can look at then increasing their performance motivation or then their need for achievement to be excellent. Think in the right way, think success, business success, obviously. Look at their entrepreneurial skills that we can also develop, and also looking at their business skills. So if we give attention to that, and I think the developer or then the trader must just have a look there that is a multiplicative function of then the elements in that. So it's motivation that is then eventually entrepreneurial skills times business skills, which interacts with entrepreneurial performance. So there's a scientific foundation to this. And I have tested this. I even had then a PhD student testing this, the results were brilliant to see that.
That is very interesting. So just to break it down simply, if you are a trainer, don't be intimidated by this. Part one, we shared all the need for achievement and motivation skills and how to get that to the next level. This session will focus specifically on the entrepreneurial skills and what are the skills and the competencies required to improve your entrepreneurial performance overall. So, Prof, tell us a bit about the entrepreneurial skills that an entrepreneur requires and what that entails.
Anya, let's assume we've put now the performance motivation skills we've put now then on the one side and we park it, then we say that that's in place. What we have to equip them with is also to give attention to then this opportunity identification to then develop there. This might also be something that to a certain extent can be then contentious. Somebody said, listen, I can't develop people's risk propensity, but I'm going to tell you how in a moment. We can develop their creativity, the way that they are supposed to in look at role models, and also to be able to get to the commercialization of their ideas to eventually go through innovation. If we start in with opportunity identification, there are a few comments that we have to, or that I have to make, but okay, that the educator needs to take into account. And that is, first of all, as a baseline statement, opportunities are not going to walk to you and say, listen, yeah, I'm an opportunity. It's also difficult because I know that the audience out there may now say, my wife always says to me, but tell the people about the opportunity. If you say there are so many opportunities in the country, why don't you tell them about it? If you know that. But there's a difficulty regarding that because what may be an opportunity then out of my perspective for me, then based on my skill set, based on then what I can be able to do, may not be an opportunity for you. So it's something difficult to say, okay, go into this. All training opportunities and development opportunities are then development opportunities for me. I will then utilize that. Okay. Obviously, there is a mechanical process. You start to get used to it. After a while, if you have trained people in doing that, you first of all, obviously, have to spot the opportunity. So continuously, we must, as entrepreneurs, and also we have to be able then to convey that to them, scan the environment. If you scan the environment, there are gaps in that environment. There are, for example, big retail stores that they're not interested, it's not economical for them to fill certain gaps in the market. Therefore, there's a niche opportunity to say, but okay, look at the problem we have here in the market. The market has to walk then 50 miles to be able to get to a shop. So let's make it convenient for them, and we can be able to do it, because a big retail group in South Africa, a big retail group like Pick n Pay is not going to be interested in filling that. They have then a certain anchor, they are anchor tenant in a mall, and that is then what they expect from the customer. If the customer wants it, they can come and get it. So if you scan the environment, you can be able then to see that there's an opportunity. And problems are usually opportunities to be able to do it. Then, obviously, you have to act again, if you looked at the first part and what we recorded, to act.
So taking the first step.
Taking the step and say, listen, let's open that window. And then if we open the window, then we have to have the resources to be able to do it. And in our previous discussion, not ours, but in the personal discussion we had, I believe that you already covered the topic of starting a business without money. Because there are a number of people that believe that, but I can't do this because I haven't got any money. Now that's one of the most, let's say, unwise things to do, to start your own business with your own money. You always use other people's money. I heard a very nice quote the other day where people said that it's one of the stupidest things to do, to start your business with your own money. You use other people's money to start a business. Okay.
Friends, then, families, and fools who'd like to invest in you.
And then, obviously, you have to be able to close that window. You have to say, listen, okay, here we have the window, because I have a competitive edge. You were there first. And that's what we have to teach them. They must keep their competitive edge. Keep on being different. That's a big problem we have now, specifically in South Africa, that we have too many repetitive businesses. People do exactly the same than other people. And I'm not talking about then, let's say, spacecraft. I'm talking about this, just a little twist on it, and whether it's in quality, variety, price, just to make them a little bit different to attract their customers. In terms of the development of risk propensity, I think we have to also take into account that people are risk averse because of the fact that they don't have the information. I'm not talking about gambling. I'm talking about then taking calculated risks. Now, if you can be able to teach, and this is what we have to teach entrepreneurs, to take calculated risks, the foundation of that is in effect how to be able to collect information. If you have the enough information, you can say, but okay, yes, this is on. I always say to entrepreneurs, you have to assess whether there's water or not before you spend any money drilling for that water. So get the information, get enough information, get the right information. And if you do that, you can make then the call. You can say, listen, okay, I'm going to go for this.
I like what you are saying there, Prof, the calculated risk taking. And that actually starts off by how and where you gather the information to make an informed decision.
Yeah, if you have the informed information, you say, listen, okay, now I have it. There's maybe something that I have to also just comment. In all the businesses that I've started, all three, I was never 100% sure that it's going to work. I mean, let's be honest about it. You have to, at a certain stage, say, listen, okay, now I have then faith that the good Lord is going to make this thing work. And assist me to do it. But the fact of the matter is that 100% in certainty you won't get. That is the little risk taking. But if you have enough on the table to make then an informed decision, I think we then have trained them more than to take then calculated risks. In terms of creativity, there are a number of ways to be able to develop creativity. I'm going to give you quickly a practical example, if I might. If we take this little bottle, what I do is, and I've done that 2 weeks ago, and I've done it now a number of times, and the educators can look at this bottle and ask their attendees, give me as many as possible different ways that we can use this thing. Conventionally, we see this as a water bottle, and there is still water in this.
Mm.
But now you generate this, and you indicate to me as many as possible, then different ways in which we can use this.
So now, the out-of-the-box thinking.
Out-of-the-box thinking, and it's amazing how you can then get used to it. You can do it 3, 4, 5 times, and then they're starting to think because you are developing their association skills. And you can be able to associate. So that's how we work in terms of then building alternatives, because we help them and we assist them to get fit in terms of their thinking, if I can put it that way, and to think in terms of then a different way to apply. For example, now somebody might look at what we say now and say, listen, okay, what are you going to do with this? What can you do with this? Immediately, this thing can be used as a funnel. We can turn around, we can be able to, and this is not a delegate saying this to me, it's not me thinking it out, then to say, listen, okay, we have then our television dishes, but to protect it then from lightning, they then cut it off here, and they turn it around, and they put it there in the middle.
Goodness, and it works.
It works. It works. I never knew it. I said, listen, okay, are you serious? They said, yes. Then they said, listen, okay, you can make then ceiling bed of this, turning it like this.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can use then also it for watering plants. There are a number of ways that you can be able to do this, and that's the kind of thinking that we want to develop.
Okay, so that thinking out of the box.
To be able to do that. Okay, role models quickly. We have to be able to expose them, and the more role models they can be exposed to. But what we have to do, I always say, the educator must prepare themselves properly on this and ask the question, what did actual fact happened behind the curtains? We see on this, but this guy made a lot of money. But what happened behind the curtains and behind the scenes to get to that success story? And there are a number of lessons that we can take out of that. It also shows out to you many times how hard the entrepreneurial career is then to be able to start it, but also indicates you then how successful or then how gratifying it is to get to that success situation.
Yes, to add to that, Prof, I also firmly believe there's a hashtag that I personally started. It's called Breakfast Table Entrepreneurship. So what are these typical messages that we as parents play as role models for our kids, even at the breakfast table, saying, so one day when you work for a boss, and rather swinging that conversation, being a role model parent to initiate entrepreneurial thoughts as a career for kids, to say, one day when you are your own boss, you might not experience similar frustrations, or you might experience what the self-actualization that I am because I'm an entrepreneur. So don't underestimate as a parent the role model that you are in nurturing entrepreneurship as a career.
It's commendable that you say that you do that. I'm serious. If we can be able to achieve that, I don't exactly know about other countries, but in South Africa, I can tell you that we'll be by far a better economically developed country, mm-hmm. because we are still job seekers. I must be then unfortunately frank about that. Okay, if we look at innovation, we have to teach then the entrepreneurs how to commercialize, then we can also say operationalize their new ideas. What are they going to do with that? Now, if I say new ideas, I think I just have to qualify that. Those new ideas is not how to go to Mars again or then to the moon. It's not supposed to be then this in spacecraft. I always use this example. You get a small town. The small town only have 2 shops and maybe a garage. Small little place. And then somebody decides, but okay, I am going to invest something, and they build a little mall there. 5 shops, then maybe small shops. That is an innovation. For that community, it's an innovation. And some people say, but okay, you have this in the kind of stuff of malls you have in the cities, you have all over. But for that rural little town, it is then an innovation. It's a huge innovation because now they don't have to travel 150 kilometers then still to get to where they want to do business. So innovation is not than something that I personally see. And I always say this. Then, for example, in a rural area, something that has to be, then trying to get something, then on the moon. I mean, we have then proven that in 1967. We don't have to go there again.
Sure, okay, that's a whole new spin on innovation. That's a whole new one. So, Prof, we just identified these entrepreneurial competencies, maybe just for the sake of the target audience. Which methodologies, in terms of those competencies, have you found to be the most effective to date?
I know what I use in class or then in a mentorship program is a very strongly interactive-based methodology. You can, and many a time then academics are then accused of that, give a number of theories, you can give a number of examples, mm-hmm. but your audience must come along with you and in actual fact build then on the knowledge that you have. Sometimes there are language problems, sometimes there are conceptual problems, but they have to participate. So participatory learning is something that I use many a time. Obviously you have to be able to get the interaction not only between you, but also the interaction between them. They learn a lot then from one another. And that you leave it to them and say, listen, okay, we do this. I also use, many a time I use then groups and take the groups that the groups then present to the whole group. And say, listen, okay, but this is what we have. So if you have then a group of 25, you take the group of 25, you divide them into, let's say, eight groups of eight, three. And you say, listen, okay, you guys prepare something quickly. And you then present it to the group. Initially, they are not that then willing to do it. But after a while, they start then to enjoy it. Mm. To say, listen, okay, this is really fun to be able to do that. So that's a method of methodology that's working for me. Now, in terms of the tools that we have to use, I think that we in an age where without technology, without then the digital world that is developing dramatically, you cannot be able to then leave that out of your curriculum. You have to include then, but okay, 10 to 1 you will have then some kind of other discussion regarding that, but all the new social platforms, and it's not, we know it's not difficult. It's easy to use that. So that is something that I think is important to be able to use.
So using the modern age tools, so it could be a case where we don't have face-to-face interactive sessions anymore. It might be virtual sessions, but it could still have the same effect based on the tools we use. So, Prof, if I'm training and I'm a trainer and we've shared the motivational skills and the need for achievement and this picture is clear. I know that in my entrepreneurial competencies, those five core skills we just mentioned are the five core skills to focus on. How would I know as a trainer or as an ecosystem partner that I've been successful in my entrepreneurship competency training?
Anya, in actual fact, that is one of my pet topics. To be able to say that the short answer to your question, and that is to all business developers, all educators, is that after you've done this, entrepreneurship success worldwide is measured by in five in outputs. That is the profits or the sales, the profit, the cost, how you cost, they've driven down their cost, the return on investment and the return on equity. But the fact is we have to go back after 24 months usually, because the measurement internationally is 24 months, and we must go there and we must follow up what happened to them.
So keeping contact for at least 24 months in order to make sure.
And they need assistance. If they need assistance, they must have an open line to you. I many a time said, okay, here's all my information. You can phone me whenever. And you then ask me, listen, okay, I am now confronted with this. So I think that it's a huge responsibility from the trainer, from the educator, or the business developer to say, listen, okay, I am going to go back. Because let's be honest about this. Then internationally, nationally, in many countries, there are millions. I'm going to express it now in South African currency. there are literally billions of rand in South Africa that's then thrown at small business. But then the follow-up, a hit-and-run process is followed, following up and say, listen, okay, but how effective were we? Then if you do that calculation, I'm not going to mention names now, you will be amazed to see what then the cost is to create a specific job by means of developing an entrepreneur. I'm talking about really 150, 200, 250,000 to create then one successful entrepreneur.
Sure. So yeah. Ecosystem players, what Prof is saying is that this is no short-term investment when we decide to invest in entrepreneurship development, especially in these competencies, and that we should consider approximately 24 months after investing this into them and still keeping an open line of contact to then make sure that we measure the success up to 24 months later. That is a significant challenge. So Prof has given us some significant insights into the entrepreneurial skills. He's also recommended four of the following resources. There's an article, Entrepreneurial Creativity and Innovation by Antonitas and Van Vuren, that you can go download. Discovering your four and eight dimension brain by Nietling. info@solutions.com and New Venture Creation by Spinelli. So these are four interesting resources that you can go and follow up. Thank you for making time to sit with us today. This was part two out of a three-part series for ecosystem partners. Thank you, Prof, for being in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.